I don't know about you, but when I hear that passage to the letter of the Jewish community there in Thessalonica, there's always a little bit that makes me smile. It says, and you'll be caught up to the clouds and speak this and let this be an encouragement to you. I don't know about you, but being yanked up to the clouds isn't an encouragement. I just feel a bit worried about that. Am I just me? Am I just a little bit health and safety risk averse? I don't know what, you know, I don't really have any seatbelts, right? There's nothing. I just think being encouraged by that, but actually, you know what the real message is? This isn't my sermon for today, by the way, but it just struck me again hearing it this morning. The real message in that, God leaves no one behind. He doesn't. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. When Mashiach comes, he will gather you in. It's like the best of the army sergeants or commanders, isn't it? And they always say, leave no one behind. You know, you always go and get everyone. You return with the whole team. And that's exactly what Yeshua is planning to do. Hallelujah. It is Rosh Hashanah. Of course, the Torah portion this morning was in Bereshit 21, 1 through to 12. Haftarah there was from the first book of Shmuel, Samuel 1, 1 to 10 from the Masoretic writings. We have, as we said, some first letter to the Jewish community there in Thessalonica, and that was chapter 4, 13 through to 18. Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah. We've already said the prophetic calendar is ticking, prophetic clock is ticking. If there's one thing we know about the real name of this festival, Yom Teruah, is that Mashiach is coming. I'm going to try that again. Mashiach is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. You're awake this morning. Okay. This may be one of the last days of summer, but we can focus on the truth here. You know, this is what the scriptures are built around. The narrative of God's redeeming power and salvation. Written through all the festivals that we have here. And you know, on one level, as much as I don't dislike the name of Rosh Hashanah for the title today, the head of the year or Jewish New Year, as much as we can accept that, in many ways I think it's a bit of a distraction to what we're actually talking about today. Today is Yom Teruah, it's the blowing of the shofar to remind us we are commanded to hear the blowing of the shofar. We are not commanded to celebrate New Year, actually. Now I understand why in Rabbinic Judaism it became known as Jewish New Year. You know, creation allegedly happened on this day 9,000-10,000 years ago, whatever the actual date of it is, however long ago that was. That really isn't the important thing here. It was connected to creation by Jewish understanding, Rabbinic Jewish understanding, and hence slowly became known as Rosh Hashanah. But we know in the Torah it's called Yom Teruah, to remind us. You know, dipping apples in honey and everything, all of these are wonderful traditions, but if they distract us from the focus of what this day is, then we are losing the plot. Then we are moving away from what the scriptures are telling us. And if nothing else is true, as Messianic Jews, we stand on the Word of God. We love the traditions. They are wonderful. We do most of them, a lot of them, we're involved in them. But unless they are based upon the Word of God, they simply are not equal to God's Word. That is a fact. And you know, if we're dipping apples in honey and thinking about the sweetness of this new year and everything, even that, in a sense, can distract us from the beginning of these days of awe leading up to Yom Kippur. We are in the vestibule, if you like, the hallway of Yom Kippur right now. We've already walked through that door this morning. We are there. Our path is set towards Yom Kippur, and it's coming up real quick. 10 days away. And we can dip our apples, and we should, and wish each other a sweet new year, and we should. But let us not forget, we are right now in the last days of God's mercy. That's the reality. And in many ways, we're in the last days of God's mercy for this planet right now. You know, I've told you before, I am far from a doomsayer. I reject that position as a place in life to be. It's not a place I'm happy with. I am a confident, optimistic person because I've read the last page of the Bible. We should all be people like that. Yet, in the face of what we are now looking at, with the threats now of the second wave, with the threats of yet more people losing their jobs, and who knows what is coming down the tube right now, people, we need to be prepared for what is coming. We've known such times would come. No one knew when, how, or what. But I seriously do not believe, my own personal opinion, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, my personal opinion and view right now in my own spirit is that things are not likely to get better anytime soon. You know, we were already discussing in the synagogue of how we can, if we have to, go back to just three or four people in the hall again if we go into lockdown. It would break my heart to have to do that. It would feel such a retreat. But if we do it, we do it, because we do not stop. We will keep going. Whatever is happening around us, God is God, and while His judgment falls around us, we know, like the Israelites, the Hebrews in Egypt, we are in that safe place where the judgment can happen around us, but God has us in His hands. And we must never, ever forget that. Yom Kippur is on the horizon. The day, the single day, the single moment when during this year we learn whether we passed or failed the righteous standards of God. That should fill us with horror, fear and trepidation. If we actually knew what was going on in the spiritual realm. You know, we connected with what Rav Shaul was saying in his letters. Now, the longer we walk with the Lord, the more we realise the truth of what Shaul is saying. 1 Timothy, I'm the worst sinner of all. Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? That's the reality. That is the reality as we face Yom Kippur. And you're talking about Rav Shaul, who had met Yeshua on that way as he was walking, actually had a revelation of Yeshua, was hearing Yeshua guide him and teach him about how to understand the Torah, how to apply it, how to build this new construct of Messianic Judaism. This is a man who knew the Torah off by heart, all the intricacies, the details, the traditions. He walked with God. You know, I would just hope and dream of having a relationship with God that Rav Shaul had in that way. And if he says, O wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death, then I know the position that I need to take too. And it's not just Rav Shaul saying these things. I kept this the comment really of a single voice from the Jewish community. It's actually the voice of Maureen Lipman. You'll know Maureen Lipman, a very famous Jewish reporter and so on, and actress Maureen Lipman. She wrote something about Yom Kippur, and I wanted to just read it to you to connect with what Rav Shaul is saying. She says this: the day of being counted is almost here, and I have been no better at being better. Once again I am being assessed for the day of judgment, and shall hear the sound of the shofar calling me to account. They don't call them the days of awe for nothing. And if, as I sit in my upstairs eerie, she's talking about the Bevis Marks synagogue with the women's enclosure, is upstairs. She says, and if in my upstairs eerie, I read from the liturgy, from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it seems unreasonably cringing and repetitive, so I close my eyes and try to think against the background of fervent prayer, why, oh why, do I fail and fail again? When will He stop forgiving me? Why did I say that? How can I make up for my selfishness, my cynicism, my opinionated pride? How long must I live with my remorse? Tekiya teruah, tekiya. I quote it because of its power as a genuine, authentic voice of someone within the Jewish community, not in the Messianic Jewish community, but with the broader Jewish community, The voice that cries out every year, all she had said there in that article, is what is left often unsaid by many others in the Jewish community. When am I ever going to change? There's no point swinging chickens round heads. No point trying to replace the sacrifices with almsgiving and prayer. The scriptures are very clear. A sacrifice is demanded. And it has to be his way. Every time we hear the sound of that shofar, it should send the chilly winds of spiritual winter down our spine. Because you know what? Ultimately, we know Maureen is right on so many levels. We all know, and I mean we truly know, we cannot stand before the ultimately perfect, righteous God and live. And if you genuinely believe that you can, on the basis of your own merits, on the basis of your own Torah observance, or even on the basis of just thinking that you're basically a good person, then your self-delusion is full indeed. On that day, that dreadful day of judgment, and we can stand there with the sad accumulation of what we may call obedience to God, if we hope on that day to be accounted as righteous before him on the basis of that, then we are delusional. You know, if Moshe wasn't let into the land because of his sin, and he knew the Lord way more deeply than any of us has ever done or likely ever will, then what games are we playing if we think that we are any better than he? And again, I want to make the point. Moshe knew Adonai. Shaul knew Adonai. But there's a deeper truth and understanding in all of this that you really need to get hold of. Through all of this, we begin in that position when, like Isaiah said, when he was confronted with the righteousness of God, he despaired of life and he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." That's our reaction. Even if we are seeing the revelation of God before us, as Isaiah did, when we're confronted with God, still in ourselves, we are flat on our face, pleading for God's mercy, because there is no way that we can stand before him. And yet, because I know some of you are saying there, sitting there this morning, you're saying, "Yes, Rabbi, that is one side of the coin," and you're absolutely right, because we are not left in despair. The reality is that we cannot stand before God. And that begs the question for each and every one of us, is how possibly can we do so? How can we ever be in that place? When the man who approached Yeshua in Matthew chapter 19, the so-called rich young man, as it says in the scriptures, but let's just leave that to one aside. This young man, this man who has all his riches, has been observant all his life, and approaches Yeshua, seeking to enter the kingdom of God. And Yeshua's comment that his riches held him back provoked the reply from Yeshua's followers, "Who then can be saved?" Why? Obvious. This is a man in the first century who has been truly scripturally Torah observant all his life, and he has money. What more do you need? Surely that guarantees admission. Because it was always understood in the first century, as many people have tried to understand in a simplistic way today, the so-called health and wealth message which people preach and all of this. You know, if he has been observant all his life and he is wealthy, then surely God is blessing him for his observance. This man is in. And Yeshua says, actually, you know what? The riches that you've got there are holding you back from entering the kingdom of God. He walks away a sad man. Yeshua's follower says, "Who then can be saved?" This man had everything. He had everything. Who could be saved? And you know what Yeshua answers back to them? With men, this is impossible. That's the bad news. With men, this is impossible. You cannot save yourself. You cannot please God by your level of Torah observance and expect to come before Yom Kippur on the Day of Judgment and say, I have done all this. And Yeshua says, it is not enough. You are still not righteous before me, says Adonai. He says, with men it's impossible. There is nothing you can do, says Yeshua, when faced with the righteousness of God in the commandments. Your reaction should not be, I will try harder. Your reaction should be, God have mercy, and fall on your face and cry out to God because his righteous standards are so high and you know you cannot meet them. But with God, he says, all things are possible. In other words, man, you cannot save yourself. You cannot try and walk before God, try to live out all of these things and impress God. God is not impressed with the acts of your flesh before him and your ability to try and seek his face. God is not impressed. He is not impressed with your games. He's not impressed with you trying to impress him with anything or which way at all. He's simply not going to buy it. But Yeshua says, with God, everything is possible because salvation and redemption is not about your observance or how rich you are. It's about your faith towards God. It has always been such. Abraham did not impress God when he was called out of Ur to walk with him. You know, it wasn't God was looking down thinking, oh, there's a rich man. This man will do. Oh, there's an observant man. Oh no, he's not observant. He hasn't got the Torah yet. Oops, never mind. What is it that impressed God with Abraham? It was not about his observance. It was not about his wealth. He was born into an utterly idolatrous family. His own father was making the idols. That's how bad that family was. What is it at that moment that God sees in Abraham? His faith. That is what stirs heaven. And so Yeshua says, with God, all things are possible. The faith which God gave Abraham at that point brought him salvation and redemption. Man can never save himself. Only God can. And with him, all things are possible. That's the good news this morning. That's the good side of it all. We aren't left in that place of despair, thinking that there's no way forward. Our sins may be great, the trappings of this life often hindering us from following the Lord fully. But guess what? Join my club. We're all in the same boat. Which one of us this morning can even begin to say we've lived a fully righteous life? Please stand if you think that is you. And I didn't think so. Does that mean you don't deserve to be here this morning? No, you don't deserve to be here this morning. You're here because of the grace and mercy of God this morning. If one of us has always got it right every single time, please tell me if that is you, because I need to learn from you. As I always do at this time of year, I think it's important that it is said publicly. It is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is coming up. I want to ask your forgiveness also, because I too, in this last year, have not always got it right. And I may have hurt some of you. I may have offended some of you. I may even have sinned against some of you. I hope not, but I do not know and understand everything that goes on in my own life either. And I want to ask your forgiveness personally as your rabbi also. Because not one of us gets it right every time. People, we're here to support each other to walk in righteousness, not to drag each other down. We've got enough that drags us down. This man here, observant in so many ways, all the way through his life, correctly observing the commandments, and yet his riches and his wealth was what was dragging him down and causing him not to fully walk with the Lord. He didn't think he had a problem. He thought it was fine. But Yeshua looks way deeper than these things. You know, each one of us have things in us, things in our lives, ideas, beliefs, views, understandings. It can be a whole range of things. which this year have gone unquestioned. And yet I predict with confidence, by this time next year, we'll be on the trash heap of life's experiences. That's a fact. When I think back how I've changed over the years, not just in terms of my theological perspectives, how I've believed and understood, how I've lived my life and everything else, when I look back now at the things which I so deeply cherish, where are they? Because God has changed me. This is the threshing floor of Adonai. Mercy begins at the threshing floor as he challenges us to change, to move on, to grow deeper, to have our mind, our spirit expanded in the Ruach, to understand the things of God in ways that we've never understood before, to not hold back, to grow. You know, I say this every year, but honestly, people, today, if you are sitting here or listening and watching online and you are the same as you were a year ago, then something is wrong. I mean it. If you know you haven't changed from this time last year, in a wealth of different areas, and you are unmoved, and you're still as you were this time last year, people, you need to get on your face before God. Because something is deeply wrong. No one walks with the living God of Israel and remains unchanged by that encounter. And if you are unchanged, then you are not truly meeting with the living God of Israel. Or you're not letting him in. But the good news, as we've heard through all of this, with God all things are possible. His word never changes, and Yeshua, God, made a way for us to not just live in despair, but actually to receive the righteousness which only God can give us in and through Yeshua's sacrifice for us. That is the only way, people. It's the only way. To have that faith in Yeshua, to have faith in God's redeeming power for us, that at that moment when we scream out to God, oh, who am I, this wretched sinner? What can I ever do? But God, I know you can do this. That is faith. That is faith. And at that point, he places the blood of Yeshua on your life and says, yes, I have a way. I have made a way. This is the way for you in Yeshua. But there's another side of all of this which I want to just share with you, which I think when we understand everything is possible for God, all things are possible. I want to share with you something else, a deeper dimension of all of this, something that we may not even be really fully aware of, and I think we deeply should be. And it comes down to a simple question. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are this morning? See, Rav Shaul, when he realizes who he is, this wretched sinner but redeemed, begins to understand the pattern that he writes about and talks about in the Messianic writings that runs through the Torah of all, is clear as well. The message is simple, the message is powerful. As he talks about in Romans 8 and elsewhere, people, he says, you were dead in your sins as unregenerate, not born again, living and acting as you were. Now the message that we see in and through this, which is so powerful for us at this time of the year, and I really want to reiterate it because it is powerful, it's the good news for us. So many of us, when faced with our sinfulness, accept that redemption, accept the salvation, and then in some way never really push through to the full revelation of what that means in our lives. Shaul is at pains to tell us this. He says, you were dead in your sins, you were unregenerate, you were not born again, you acted in sin because it was normal to you. He says, but now, you are not like that anymore. This is the good news that comes out through all of this. He says, you're a new creation. The old man is gone. And yet how often do we still get locked into this perspective? That's good. God has given me his righteousness. And now I need to keep on trying to match up to the righteousness of God as if it all now came down to me again. I think Shaul doesn't see it that way. Because you can still keep on trying in the flesh to please God even after you've been saved, if you choose to take that path. And in fact, Shaul argues strongly against us, or against us all the way through. Do not do that. Do not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit, he says. What does that mean by walking in the Spirit? Quite simply this, the Torah is on our hearts. God has written it there. He has renewed us. We are different from what we were before. Now all we need to do is the Ruach HaKodesh is living in us and through us. The Spirit of Messiah in us is now to let out what He has already put in. People, you still can't please God by trying to be obedient. Oh, if only people would understand the power of this message. If you actually let God bring it out of you to be the redeemed creature that you now are, then our lives would deeply, truly be transformed. Shaul talks about it as walking in the Spirit. This is walking in the Spirit. It's not just a matter of having that list of the commandments and thinking, what am I going to do in this situation? Maybe that one will work. Maybe that one. I'll try that one. No, our cry at that point is, Lord God, I'm not sure what is the right path here. You put the Torah on my heart. You fill me with your Spirit. Lord, lead me now into your paths of righteousness. Just as King David prays in the Psalms. Lead me into your way. Not I will take myself into your way. Not I will do this now myself. Not I will try and match my righteousness with yours. No, David fully understood this as he regularly says, Lord, lead me into your path. Lead me into it by the power of your Spirit so I can walk and truly live in it. People, you need to stand up and understand who you are now in Mashiach. Before it was normal for you to sin. Now it is not normal for you to sin. So how did you get that? I'm not saying you're not going to sin anymore. I'm just saying it's not your normal anymore. Before it was, but it isn't now. When we sin, we still go back and ask for forgiveness. But day by day, as Shaul says, we're being transformed into the image of Yeshua. And Yeshua's nature was such that he did not sin. Every day we should be getting nearer and nearer and nearer towards that image and picture of Messiah in us, living that life. That's why we do not despair. If you want to go back to try and walk in the flesh again and keep the commandments of God in your own power, in your own strength, you will fail ever more and you'll be back in that place of despairing again. Because that is not what we're meant to do. We're meant to let out what God has put within us, not strive towards something which is not achievable in the human power. That is why when we get to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, for us it's a mixture of emotions. Yes, for us it's that sense of acknowledging that yes, we do still sin, and we do. But as I said before, at this stage now, you should be sinning less now than you were a year ago. There should be movement in all of this. As more and more you've been transformed into Yeshua, transformed into that righteous life day by day by day. We need to let out what God has put into us. Allow Him to do this. Allow the Spirit room to move and change us as we move on. So yes, Rosh Hashanah, yes, Yom Kippur is this mixture of the one hand acknowledging God's judgment, but equally in ourselves knowing that we pass from judgment to life. Knowing that right now we have the freedom to obey in the Spirit in a way which if we have not had that encounter with Yeshua, that we're unable to do. For us, the Torah is not merely aspirational. It's not something that we're looking at, thinking, oh, we need to do this. It is something inspirational. It is in us now. Part of who we are, part of our character, part of our nature. God has put it there in a way that it was not there before. You are redeemed. You are free to obey in the Spirit today. And yes, we repent of the things which hold us back. Yes, we still encourage each other to seek God's face in repentance in this way. But the bittersweetness of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is that reminder that we have a way, that God has made a way for us through Yeshua Mashiach. believe it or not, I am looking out onto a room of some of the most normal people on this planet this morning. Really? You're normal. Yeah, I know you can look at each other and pull a face. I know, but you know, well, I'm normal anyway. Anyway, but no, I mean, you know, I'm looking on really normal people. Why? Why do I call you normal? I'm not some kind of snowflake telling you you're awesome. You're normal. But you know what? You should be really pleased you're normal. Why? Because redeemed humanity is what humanity should actually look like. You are normal. This is what people should be like. Sinners is not the norm. We were not created as sinners. We chose to. Humanity was created in the image of God to walk in perfection before Him. That is what normal is meant to be. That is the created norm. Unbelievers are not normal. I know they think they are. They think we're the weirdos. Actually, it's the other way around. They are not normal. We are normal. According to creation. So in all of this, when we have this message that we take out to people, let what's in you come out. Share it with the people around you. Yes, fight against your old man tendencies. I'm not saying that we're all free of those things. We are still in the flesh this morning. It's still something which is battling against us often enough. But the way to subdue the flesh is not to attack it, but to let the Spirit out. Overwhelm the flesh by the power of the Ruach in your lives. Allow what's in you to come out. And then you'll begin to change the things around you, the situations around you. Live in the Spirit. Release Yeshua from inside you. And thus be who you are. Receive that revelation this morning. You are not just the old man who has been redeemed. And now somehow, through the Spirit, somehow just can try harder. It's not about trying harder in the Spirit. It's letting the Spirit do His work in you and releasing the righteousness of God that is written on your heart to release it and let it out around you. That's the good news of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If we would embrace that, then we can approach this season with confidence. Yes, that bittersweetness of what a day like today means, but also knowing the redemption and salvation is real within our lives. There is a way. And that way has a name. Yeshua. Amen.